Hi friends, welcome to the Genesis of Shame podcast. I'm your host, Sam Landa, and I'm here to help you speak biblical truth to the shame you experience in relationships. My hope is that you grow in your understanding of how shame impacts you so you can learn how to connect with God and others. If you've experienced fear, hiding who you are, boundary issues, anxiety, and or depression in your relationships, then this podcast is for you. It's time to speak truth to your shame. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Genesis of Shame podcast. It has been a while. It's been a couple of weeks actually since I've been able to get on here and share a new podcast with you guys. And it's just been a crazy couple of weeks, guys. You know, I hope you understand. I apologize for that. I always want to be consistent with this, and I think I was doing pretty good up until the last, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. And just wanted to let you guys know that we are ready and back on it. And today is a episode that I wanted to share with my single friends, because I've been encountering this a lot in counseling, and a lot of the complaints, or not complaints so much, but more so desires that people have about relationships, about dating. And one specific one that I know many of you guys are probably going to find relatable is, what does it look like to define the relationship, right? How do you define the relationship? And how do you set goals for that relationship? So this is just something that was placed on my heart just based off of the conversations that I've had with students. And I hope that you guys find it a blessing. But before I begin, as always, just want to encourage you guys to subscribe to the podcast. It is a blessing to see how many people were picking it up before, I don't know, I think before I started, once I started season two, that's when I noticed that there was like an uptick in downloads. So that was really cool. And I just, you know, if you find this to be a blessing, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or Spotify, and you'll get all the new episodes as they get sent out. So that being said, let's go ahead and jump into today's topic. So today's topic, we're discussing, you know, defining the relationship, the DTR talk. And you know, I have to reflect back on what it was like for me when I wanted to do this in my relationships. Been married now for 5.5 years. My wife Joy and I have 2 boys. And, you know, when I look back at how we dated and how I started everything off, we always talk about it. She tells me how important it was and how comforting it was to hear someone tell her what to expect from the relationship. And I wanted to do that as well, because I feel that that's only fair to her and also to me, in the sense that I was in the stage where, you know, I wanted to get married, I wanted to have a family, and she was in that stage as well. So I was observing her, who she was. I asked around about her in our church. It was probably maybe, gosh, I don't know, 6 months to a year. It was probably a year. And, you know, just seeing her serve in the church and seeing who she was, how she was with other people. She was involved in youth ministry. And then I asked around, you know, because she grew up in that church. So I had a lot of information going into asking her to be my girlfriend at first, defining the relationship. I don't know why it's hard for people, you know, especially because most of the demographic that listens into the podcast is this range from 22 to about 36. So, I mean, that's a pretty good age. So either you're finishing your undergrad, you know, 22, 23, around there, in grad school or in your profession already. So you're in that stage where you want to get married or want to find someone, but have been having trouble finding that person. And I think a big part of that is this confusion with, well, what are we? And when is the right time to actually share that? So yeah, so that's kind of where this whole topic came from. So anyways, once I had gathered my information on joy, I asked around, I had a couple of conversations with her, and I had invited her to a home group to see how she responds to my circle of friends. So all of that, right? Obviously taking inventory of everything. And after going out a couple of times, I think we maybe went out like four times, I think. That's including, that's not including times that we went to go meet with friends and home group and all that stuff. It was just four actual dates. So, I had a good feel for who she was, and, I liked her, and said, I'm going to ask her to be my girlfriend. I want to make sure she understands that I'm not just in it to, just to date, but to date with a purpose. And there's a difference, right? Dating just to date is, let's have fun, let's enjoy time together, and we'll see what happens, right? Dating with a purpose is, I want to get to know you, I want to share with you my values, I want to hear what your values are, and then we'll see how this, how we can continue to move forward. Dating with a purpose doesn't mean that you're automatically going to get married, right? And I think that's something that we often confuse, is that we think that dating with a purpose means that we are going to get married. Dating with a purpose means that you want to get married, you both want that, and you're trying to find whether or not you're right for each other in that process, okay? You're not messing around. You're really serious about this and having those tough conversations while also trying to enjoy each other's company. So there's obviously a lot there to explore. So the big questions: when is the right time to define the relationship? Well, as you guys have likely read before, if we go to Ecclesiastes 3, it tells us, right, verse 1, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, right? So we're very hopeful. We read this passage, read verse 1, and we're very hopeful. And as we start reading from verses 2 down to 8, nowhere in there does it say a time to date and a time to break up. And obviously, jokingly, pointing that out. But, this idea of there being a time for everything, and we're so concerned about when is the right time for me to date. And we put up a lot of, I don't know if I want to call them barriers, but we put up a lot of excuses for why it is the right time or for why it's not the right time. And really, it's living life. Paul talks about this in Corinthians, right? About being single and being content in our singleness. And just because you want to get married, want to date someone, find someone to get married to, that doesn't mean that you're not content with who you are. But, sometimes you'll go out and you'll date someone and things don't work out. And you'll say, it's probably because I still need to focus more on my relationship with God, and I need to make sure that I make him the center of my life. And I'm not saying that those aren't good things. That is the goal, and that is what we are aspiring to be, right? We want to be committed to God. And I think most people, most Christians that I've interacted with, a lot of the students they interact with, are in that position. The older they are, the more set they are in that, in their walk with Christ. The younger they are, I see it a little less stable, so they're still kind of trying to find themselves out. They're in the what we find in psychology is called the Erikson stages, which is the identity versus confusion stage, and that has moved into, it's typically a adolescent stage, but I have seen it a lot lately, in the last 5 to 10 years maybe, where that's extended into young adulthood. So the intimacy versus isolation stage, which is young adulthood stage typically, has been shifted to a later age group, which is very interesting. But anyways, all this to say about timing and understanding where we are is that You know, I think most of you who are in that later stage know that you want that for your life. You want a godly man. You want a godly woman. You are seeking after Christ. But then you start dating and things don't work out and you think that maybe God's telling you, hey, you need to work on yourself some more. And maybe he is, right? I don't know that. I don't know that. I just know that sometimes we rationalize in our mind that maybe this is what we need to do. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's the fact, the heartbreak of a failed relationship, let's say, maybe leading you closer to him, right? It may make you more dependent on him. So in some ways, I guess we could argue that it is God's way of letting us know to seek him out more, but it's also just strengthening that relationship. Maybe it's not necessarily seeking him out more, but maybe it's just a way of strengthening that relationship. And that's a good thing. That doesn't mean that you don't experience the pain of heartbreak. It doesn't mean that you don't, that you just go on with life like if nothing happened. It's a thing that deepens our relationship with Christ. I remember when I first moved here to Lynchburg, you know, I was obviously, you know, I think it was 26, 27. And, you know, I was already at that age where I wanted to get married. I mean, I wanted to get married when I was like 22 or something. And, you know, just never, obviously never happened. But 26, 27, you know, again, feeling more set in who I was as a person. And then I go through a relationship and it ends up not working out. And I started to question a lot of who I was and did the person reject me because of who I am and all of these different things. And then I started to rationalize that by saying, you know, maybe God's telling me that I'm not ready for marriage. Maybe he's telling me that I need to seek him out. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I'm seeking you out. I want to seek out even more. But in all of that, there was this insecurity that came with that. This questioning of whether or not I was going to be good enough for anyone. And, you know, that stemmed, a lot of that insecurity stemmed from my parents' relationship, where because I didn't see it work out, I wanted to make every relationship work out. So if one relationship didn't work out, then I would feel like a failure. I would feel like this just confirms that I'm never going to be good enough, or that I'm not going to be able to make a relationship work. And maybe that's you guys. You know, maybe you've seen times where you just have not been able to make it work, and maybe you've thought to yourself that it's your fault, you know. Or maybe you're on the other side. Maybe you think that it's always the other person's fault. And if that is your position, I would ask you to question that, because there are patterns that we have and that are exposed in relationships as you get closer to each other and you start to develop more intimacy with each other, knowing more about each other. We expose ourselves, you know, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. And the other person picks up on that, right? So this is just part of being human, right? That as we get closer to people, they start seeing our flaws and they have to decide at some point whether or not they are able to accept those flaws, you know? And also if they just enjoy spending time with you, if you guys have the big three, which I often talk about in normal conversations, if you guys agree on faith, family, and future, then you guys have a good foundation to build a relationship on, right? The faith having to do with backgrounds, right? What was your upbringing like in regards to faith? When did you get saved? What does salvation mean to you? What does a relationship with Christ look like? Do you believe in the Bible, right? These big faith questions that you guys would need to agree on or want to agree on, right? Then you talk about family, right? What was your family upbringing like? What are the dynamics in your family? How does that affect who you are today? What kind of family do you want in the future, right? And then lastly, future. Where are you headed? Are you guys headed in the same direction? Are you guys headed in opposite directions? Are you guys making plans about the future? Or you guys want to live in a particular place, right? So all of these questions that you can explore with each other. But if you agree on those three, you know, and obviously there's subcategories to each one, but you find agreement in many of the areas there, then I think you have a good foundation, right? But again, all of this leads back to, when do you define the relationship, right? And that's essentially the question that we want to answer. So if we jump to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and we'll read verse 6 and 7, again, speaking about timing, for there is a time and a way. So not just the time, not just when, but also how, a way for everything, although man's trouble lies heavy on him. For he does not know what is to be, for who can tell him how it will be? And I was really processing that verse a lot because we want answers. Would it help you and the other person to know when to define the relationship? This whole episode is is committed to answering this question. Define the relationship. So when do you define the relationship? And it's going to vary with each person. Some people don't like to define it, right? And a lot of that stems from previous pains, previous experiences that were very negative, right? Either you had a lot of breakups, or the breakups that you had were not cordial, right? Or they were very traumatizing in a way, right? You just didn't have good romantic relationships, and that makes you gun shy, right? In wanting to define the relationship, you don't want to act too soon, but if you wait too long, then, you know, what if I lose the person? So you have all of these factors playing a role in whether or not you want to define the relationship. So let me first say this. The guy needs to define the relationship. The man needs to define it. Okay. So this is hard because I know a lot of women out there are thinking to themselves, well, I don't want to wait for him to define the relationship. So sometimes they'll jump the gun and they'll ask, or they'll want to define the relationship. But one thing that I would recommend for both. So guys, when you're going to define the relationship, really you're seeing how you are with this person, right? You're trying to use wisdom and discernment in knowing whether or not you can see a life together with this person, right? And you want to be fair to her as well. So having those two things in mind, is she a believer? And can you see yourself? Can you see yourself having a future with her? Then, you know, you can ask. So the question is when? Well, after how many dates? Well, when you feel comfortable, when you feel that it's right to ask that question. And that's really the best advice that I can give you. And all I can say is sooner is better than later. So I think sooner, so let's say, you know, how do you mark that? Do you mark that by time, or do you mark that by dates? And really, it's about how much you're being vulnerable with each other. Okay, so use that as a marker. So when you first interact with people, when you first go out on dates, you talk about some pretty general stuff. You know, what kind of things do you like? What's your favorite color? If that's even a question anymore. You know, how did you grow up? What's your upbringing like? What church do you go to? You know, basic stuff, which is important. But then as you start to go deeper, you know, once you start sharing personal, painful things with the other person, right? Once you feel like you want to connect with them in that way, that opens the door for vulnerability, right? That opens the door for you being vulnerable with that person. It opens the door for you guys getting closer, okay? So here's kind of the guiding principle. So when you start sharing of your heart, again, sooner rather than later, so when you share something that's personal to you, understand that when you share that personal matter, right, that breeds the idea of reciprocity, okay, the emotional reciprocity, which is basically when you share something, the other person also feels compelled, maybe starts leaning towards also wanting to share something as well, okay? And the reason why it's important for the guy to do this first is because once the girl shows that, right, once she becomes vulnerable to the guy. The guy may not respond initially. Okay? So, girls, if you start sharing something about yourself that is makes you vulnerable, meaning that it's something very personal, something that not a lot of people maybe know about your life, and you share that with this person, that opens you up, right? And the understanding behind that is that if I share this, maybe they'll show something as well, right? It's just a way that we choose to connect with others. We share something about our lives, and we hope that they share a little bit more with me than they do with everyone else, right? So once you share that, the guy has a decision to make. He either reciprocates by sharing something as well, right? Something that's meaningful, or he may just close off. So if he reciprocates, obviously that's a positive. You're like, okay, good. I shared something. He shared something, right? So then you want to go deeper. Then the next day comes around, and then you decide to go deeper. And that's when the guy starts getting a little bit scared because he doesn't want to move too fast. He also doesn't want to open him up. You know, women tend to be more vulnerable than men are. I mean, that's just something that's known. It's a common denominator among men, even Christian men. And the reason for that is that men like to keep our status, right? We're very image driven in regards to status, that if there's a weakness, I don't want the girl that I like to see me as someone who's weak or someone who needs help. So as you're sharing a vulnerability with him, he may feel uncomfortable with it and may not want to share something in order to maintain that positive image, right? And that can be good or bad. And I'll probably explain in another episode as to why. But there's shame experience there. And again, if the guy doesn't share, what does the girl do? She will continue to open up more, hoping that he will eventually open up. And in fact, as she continues to open up even more, he feels the obligation to want to share, but can't because he's still not ready. So what happens is that it causes the girl to feel confused. I'm sharing with him and it looks like I don't think he likes me. I don't think he wants to date me or really want to be with me. And he hasn't defined the relationship yet. So what's going on, right? And it just causes a lot of confusion unless she brings up the question and says, hey, you know, obviously we've been dating for X amount of time. I'm just wondering what's going on here, right? And that's appropriate. I think that's a good thing for women to do, to ask the guy, hey, if you feel that he's wasting your time, then it's okay. But you've already shared all these, you know, vulnerable moments with him that it almost feels like it feels more painful than what it could have been, right? Or than what it should be. And that's why my mentality in regards to dating is that the guy should risk his heart being hurt as opposed to the girl taking that step and risking her heart. Does that make sense? You know, this is just a basic principle of protecting the woman's emotions, not just protecting her physically, but also protecting her emotionally and spiritually, is that once the guy feels comfortable enough to share something about his heart, then he can do that, and then that allows for the woman to reciprocate, because she wants to reciprocate. She wants to be vulnerable. It's harder for the guy, though. So my guiding principle in regards to defining the relationship is once the guy is ready to be vulnerable, and I say sooner rather than later because you want to be respectful of time with each other, right? Because, you know, if you're dating for 6 months and you haven't defined the relationship, 3 months even, and you haven't defined the relationship, you know, that's not a good thing. You know, she's going to be wondering, you know, what are we, you know? And you'll be in the talking stage forever. So you want to avoid that. So guys, what I would encourage you to do is, you know, start dealing and wrestling with your stuff and start seeking God and allow him to heal those painful wounds that you have, maybe from past experiences, maybe from your upbringing, maybe something that that you're dealing with from a spiritual perspective, an emotional perspective, a mental perspective. You know, you may be wrestling with some lust or something like that, and those things are not things that you want to share in early on in the relationship, right? We hide those things typically because that makes us look weak or not as strong Christians. So, but once you've dealt with that, you're able and willing to share with this person that you're considering a life with, you're able to be vulnerable with them, right? And once you're vulnerable with them, that opens the door for her to feel safe with you and also be vulnerable with you, right? And then as you feel comfort based on her response, because girls, your response to a vulnerability that is shared makes a huge difference. It means a lot to the guy how you respond to that. And obviously you work from that, right? But once the guy shares that first time, the girl is just kind of waiting to reciprocate that emotional vulnerability, and you know, that gets you guys closer. And then the next couple of dates, then at some point he shares something again, makes you vulnerable, and then the girl also reciprocates, right? So, you know, that's in my mind, you know, how it would work best. That way it kind of follows that rule of the man protecting the woman's heart, protecting her physically, emotionally, spiritually. So it covers all of those things in my worldview of how dating could look like, and that is biblical, and also kind of maintains that standard of how God created us to protect your hearts and minds and spiritual walk. So one caveat to this that I do want to make sure I address is maybe the guy does share, so he's vulnerable. And maybe the girl holds back. So the guy says, okay, if he's dealt with his past and he's working on his issues and he's allowing God to cleanse his heart and is working through a lot of things, you know, he'll feel comfortable with sharing that first time. But if he shares again a second time and there's no reciprocity, and then again a third time, and there's a pattern of the girl not reciprocating, he will shut down. And obviously that makes sense, right? He will shut down and will not pursue the relationship anymore. And it might make him very insecure about that relationship. And maybe the girl doesn't open up because she doesn't really like him. But if you're continuing to date him, obviously there's something else there. You might say to yourself, you know, for the ladies, you might say to yourself, you know, I want to open up, but I can't. I feel like if I share this, you know, he's going to hurt me, or, you know, maybe it's not going to work out. But guys, just in general, you have to know why you're sharing what you're sharing. And a big part of that is you understanding your story, you know, and what God's been doing in your life. You know, that's very, very important for you to understand what God is doing in your life. And if you understand that, you guys can both ease each other's concerns and worries in the relationship by being open and vulnerable with each other as the man leads that out in the relationship. Again, this is just one man's perspective, right? I think it follows the biblical model. I think that it does make sense for both parties, because I do think that women tend to be more willing to share something vulnerable and men aren't. So that's why I kind of flip it and say, well, sometimes if the guy is growing in his walk with Christ, if he's learning how to deal with his stuff, whether he's going to counseling, whether he's being discipled, whether he's digging into the word and he's working through his things, you know, he'll get to a point where he's able to share something vulnerable. And again, the rule, and I know this can change, but sooner is better than later, right? So test it out, guys. You know, test out, you know, okay, well, sooner is better than later. Okay, so when is sooner? You know, write down on a sheet of paper some very practical steps. Write down on a sheet of paper what your story is, and what are those big things and what are the small things that you're willing to share as you move forward in the relationship. Because what's going to determine if you keep on sharing is how she responds to the first thing, where either the guy or the girl will share something very deep. And it's their way of kind of testing the waters and saying, you know, I want them to know that this is part of my story, and they can choose now to not invest in the relationship if this is something that they really don't want, right? And like I said, guys, as you continue to work through that stuff, asking the Lord to cleanse your heart, you know, dig into the Word, be in prayer, and again, you pursuing this relationship, you have to be willing to risk getting hurt. Obviously, that comes with a level of wisdom, meaning the person that you choose hopefully is someone who also loves the Lord and is willing and wanting to have that relationship with you as well, right? Do your homework, you know, you do your asking around from in church or her friends, you know, do your Facebook stalking and all that stuff that both people do, because everyone does this. So you do that to get to know more about their background and their information, and then you ask them out. And just remember, share something sooner rather than later. And as you see them reciprocate, you know, then you define the relationship again, sooner rather than later. Okay. So if you've taken it as a general rule, if you've taken 3 months and you're sharing, right, this is all based on how much you're sharing with each other. If you've already reached 3 months, I think you've waited too long to define the relationship. I think you can define the relationship if you're sharing with each other, learning to be vulnerable, you know, within those 3 months. Okay. And then ladies, I know the hardest part is just being patient, you know, just waiting for the guy to kind of lead in that. And you guard your heart by not being vulnerable too soon and wanting to get him to respond and just waiting for him to lead. So as you wait for him to lead in vulnerability, then you can start sharing as well, right? And he sees you reciprocate, and that helps the relationship, I think, flow a lot smoother. You can test my theory, see if it works. This is based off my experience in seeing relationships and working with relationships. Obviously now being married for 5.5 years, you know, my wife and I have talked about, you know, what that looked like and how we felt through all that. So just some observations. And lastly, I do think that it follows the biblical model of the man protecting the woman emotionally, physically, spiritually. Okay. So, yeah. So those are just my thoughts on this topic, guys. And I hope that you find it to be a blessing. You know, I just love working and discussing topics that relate to this age group. I mean, when I looked at the stats for the podcast and I look at the age group, I'm so intrigued by it, because that's the age group that I love and discussing these types of topics with. So yeah, hopefully it's a blessing. Feel free to send comments or questions, or if you'd like me to do another one of these, yeah, let me know. You know, my wife and I have talked about doing one together where we talk about, you know, whether it be marriage or dating and what that was like. But you know, she's a little podcast shy. So we'll see what happens in the future. But for now, hopefully, again, this was a blessing. And if you have any questions, feel free to comment on the Facebook post, or you can send me a message as well. Well, all right, guys, thank you for tuning in today. I really appreciate it. Hope you guys have a good one, and I'll see you next week. Bye.